Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And today we are live out here at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators are in action tonight, hosting the Winnipeg Jets. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starting at 6 p.m. right here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. The Predators have the opportunity to clinch the playoffs tonight. Now, we know it's a 99.99% chance that the Predators make the playoffs. Like, they're making the playoffs. They are 1 point away from making the playoffs. So they take it to overtime tonight. They clinch the playoffs. They win tonight. They clinch the playoffs, and they have the opportunity to do it at home tonight. So a big one tonight for the Predators. D-Mace is here. Willie Donick will join us here in a few moments. He's out at Morningscape. But D-Mace, how we doing?
Hey, doing well. Last night's basketball game was pretty good. I thought we were in store for a close battle, but it seemed like UConn did what UConn does,
and just
slowly pull. It's almost like
demolished everyone who they play.
It was reminiscent of the game I saw the night before versus South Carolina in Iowa, where South Carolina just slowly just warmed down. It was just like this anaconda just squeezing and squeezing.
Like, it got interesting for a while, but then it was like, no, we're going to turn it on and we're going to
bury
you.
Absolutely. We're the better team. Yeah. We're going to show you. And last night it was that way for UConn. It was like Purdue held their own for the first half, and then slowly in the second half, it was just wave after wave of UConn players, their bench, their starting five. Purdue didn't have a deep enough bench to compete with UConn. They ran Iowa up and down the court to tire out the big fella, because Zach Edey was dominating them in the first half. He was unstoppable. But you can see even in the first half, by UConn running up and down the court, their big man running up and down the court. Why? Because he know he has help on the bench. He can go sit down for 5 minutes. Zach Edey can't do that.
He was gassed in the second half.
Exactly. And they just wore the big fella down.
Yeah.
And he did all he can do. At the end, you saw it. He started missing shots. You know, he was just playing a little bit. He was playing tired. He was fatigued. And, Hurley and that coaching staff did an excellent job a game planning for them, making them chase picks, making them go through screens, tiring them out. And ultimately, at the end of the game, you just saw the better team.
Zach Edey accounted for over half of Purdue's points loss.
Man.
I mean, it was the Zach Edey show, and then everybody else just couldn't get anything done.
No.
So it just felt inevitable. I mean, that UConn offense is so fun to watch. It's so seamless. It's so smooth. They pass so well. It just looks so effortless. It was all like watching ballet on our basketball court. It was like, man, that was just pretty. Man, they just made that look so easy. Good game last night. I'm not going to say great game. It was a good game.
Yeah, it was a good game.
I could have done without the 8:30 tip-off.
Yeah, that was late.
Like, what about the 6:30 p.m. tip-off?
Exactly. Then it's
everybody
9 o'clock.
Gets to bed at a sensible hour.
I mean, luckily, it did kind of get away from Purdue late. So if you wanted to go to bed at the 4 or 5 minute mark, you could have.
With like 5.5 minutes left, I was like, okay, this game's over.
Knew,
and I finished the game, but once it was done, it was like, all right, I don't need to watch the Scott Van Pelt post show. I don't need to, once I saw Dan Hurley do all of his celebrating.
Hey, Dan Hurley was in the mood yesterday.
Dan Hurley was feeling himself.
Yeah, he was definitely. And I loved it.
Yeah.
I truly enjoyed, because it wasn't out of arrogance. It was just like, listen, I'm confident in what I do as a head coach, and I'm confident in the young men that I go out and recruit. That, yeah, you may beat us. We may not make it 1 year because these guys are young, but watch out because we're coming. And he said that previously. He said, you better get us now because we're coming. And they damn sure came busting through the door and to win back-to-back national championships. But I enjoy watching him on that stage because even – even, they were not the team talked about even in this tournament.
Because it's boring watching a really good team just demolish every single team that they play.
Yeah.
Like, the interesting games were the ones that were very tightly contested and really close till the very end. It got boring watching UConn just beat everybody and make it look easy in the process. So UConn takes it back-to-back national champions, the first time in the NCAA tournament since 2006 and 2007 when Florida went back-to-back. Florida did it, yeah. We have back-to-back champions. So we'll get into that later on in the show, what comes next for Kentucky, some developments on that front. We'll get into that as well. Tim Hasselbeck will join us in just about 25 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the pre-draft process, his thoughts on some draft tidbits that we're hearing coming out. So Tim Hasselbeck will join us right at 11:30. But I wanted to get started here, D-Mace, and this was a Bill Barnwell article on ESPN.com. Headline is, 2024 NFL Draft Round 1 Trades. Which teams should move up? So basically, he just goes team by team, pick by pick. Should you move up? Should you stay put? Should you trade back? Should you move up a lot? Should you trade back a lot? Only trade back a little bit, so far and so forth. Chicago Bears at number one. What they should do? Stay put. I think that we can all agree. Chicago will pick at one, and they will take Caleb Williams. Washington Commanders at two. Bill Barnwell says, stay put. Mm-hmm. Any issues with that?
No.
New England Patriots, stay put at three. Any issues with that?
Nope.
Me neither. That's going to be quarterback, whether it's Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, whether it's Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, in whatever order, it's going to be quarterback. And then he gets into how the Cardinals could trade down with a quarterback needy team. No problem with that. The Chargers, very interesting, could trade down with another quarterback needy team. I would agree that that's probably on the table here. Let's fast forward to the Tennessee Titans at seven. Before I get into what Bill Barnwell writes, what he thinks the Titans should do, D-Mace, when it comes to stay put, trade back, trade up. And, of course, that comes with, well, you need a trade partner.
Yeah.
Of course, that comes with, well, how far do you trade up or trade back? Of course, those specifics are incredibly important into this conversation, and there are conversations that Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan are having. But just when it comes to trade up, trade back, stay put, what would you do if you're running the Tennessee Titans?
If my guy is there, I'm staying put. I'm staying put until my guy is not there. Mm-hmm. Whoever you deem your guy. Whether it's, you know, your top two guys, let's put it that way. If your top two guys are not there, then, okay, trade back, acquire some picks. But don't trade back too far because you still want to be able to get whatever it is you're seeking for this team, whether it be a left tackle, whether it be an inside back, or whether it be a defensive end, or receiver. Whoever you are targeting, make sure you can then still get them. I'm not too big on moving too far back because now you lose the opportunity to get possibly one of those top two to three tackles, one of those top two to three wide receivers, and possibly maybe even one of those top two or three defensive guys if you move too far back. So if the guys that I have ranked high is still there, then, you know, no, I'm not trading that. But if they're not, then, yeah, I'm trading out. But it depends on how far back I go.
And I'm with you there. That if your guy's there, then you stay put. Mm-hmm. If you have a trade partner, if you can pick up a couple of extra picks in this year's draft, hell, if you can pick up a first in next year's draft, absolutely, that's something that I'm having the conversation about. But understanding, we talked to TD yesterday. And I asked him kind of what's the line of demarcation in the first round between elite players and really good players and franchise-changing players versus a little bit more of a gamble. And TD said it's an inexact science, of course, because you never know where players are going to fall. You never know how far the quarterbacks are going to push some of these elite players. But it's right around, and I feel like every draft is probably the same, right around 14, 15, 16, right in that mid to late teens area. Maybe in some drafts it's more like 20. Maybe in some drafts it's more like 12 or 13. But really right in that sweet spot. I'm not in the business of trading back further than that. Mm-hmm. Because ideally, you're not picking in the top 10 in the future.
Exactly.
That would be ideal. So I'm going to take an elite game-changing franchise-altering player while I can, rather than pick up a first in next year's draft or pick up other later picks in this year's draft just to trade back to what, like, you know, 27 and get a player that's a little bit more of a gamble. What Bill Barnwell writes, however, so you and I are on the same page.
Yes.
You either stay put or you trade back a little bit if you have a trade partner. I think really you and I and a majority of Titans fans, and I think probably a majority of the people on our station would agree with that sentiment. This is what Bill Barnwell writes. The Titans should trade up. He says, while Rand Carthon has made plenty of moves this offseason, the one position he conspicuously has not touched is offensive tackle. The Titans let Chris Hubbard hit free agency and cut free agent disaster Andre Dillard after one season, leaving them without many options at this position. Sadiq Charles played outside during his time in Washington with little success, while Nicholas Petitfrere missed most of the 2023 season between a gambling suspension and a shoulder injury. Dylan Radins hasn't looked like an NFL-caliber offensive lineman. Peter Skoronski, a first-round pick last year, played tackle at Northwestern, but I'm not sure he showed enough at guard last season to make Tennessee feel confident about bumping him outside. Now, I agree with everything that he wrote. And we heard from Brian Callahan. He told us on our show, Peter Skoronski's going to be a guard.
Exactly.
Bill Barnwell continues, even if Skoronski or Raiden start at one tackle spot, the Titans need to add another lineman to the mix. I would agree wholeheartedly. They've been popularly linked to Joe Alt at number 7, but the Chargers could add a right tackle at number 5. Harbaugh already has highlighted the value of a strong offensive line in talking to the media. That could just be coach platitude, and everyone thinks having a strong offensive line is a good idea, but it could also hint toward what the Chargers are thinking. If the Titans want to ensure they land their tackle of choice, they probably need to give the Cardinals a call. What do you think?
Oh, boy. I'm not cool. We're sort of buying into, and you know who's causing all this, right?
Harbaugh.
Exactly. Exactly. That's who's causing all of this chaos. People.
And he loves it.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know he loves it.
Absolutely. So to me, I'm not moving up. I'm not. You know, I am not going to, because you're trying to build this team. Mm-hmm. And to me, when you move up, that means what? You got to give up picks. And you're moving up from 7 to 4. That's going to cost you a lot. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you a lot. Now, if this was the Houston Texans, let's just throw that out because they are the most recent up-and-coming team again. If this was the Houston Texans, where we already know we got our quarterback, we already know we got our receivers, our running back, our offensive line is pretty good, our defense is top-notch. If I'm in that situation, then yeah, I may trade up. Why? Because I got my pieces. We are a winning. We are a team ready to win now. So only thing I'm doing is adding more pieces and sacrificing later draft picks, you know, a year down the line or two. But I don't expect to be in the top 15 picking next year or the year after that or the year after that. I expect to be picking in the low 20s. So that first round draft pick isn't as big to me this time, this go around, as it probably was 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. If I'm the Titans and I'm in that situation, yeah, I'll move up because now I'm getting my guy. And now he's going to help
like
us win now.
You feel like you're that player
exactly.
away from
Absolutely.
Contending for a Super Bowl. Totally.
But the Titans are not there. They're not one guy away. They are several guys away from getting back in the mix. That's just getting back in the mix. Because right now, they're still sort of on the outside looking in. But they need that tackle spot. They need some depth every other place to make sure they now can be able to – they're now able to get in the mix. So, to me, I'm not trading up. I trade back, but I'm damn sure not trading up because what is going to cost me? It's going to cost me first-round picks to move up, and I don't have the luxury of giving up first-round picks if I'm the Tennessee Titans.
And I don't know what it would cost you. Absolutely not. I'm not trading a first-round pick.
No.
I'm not trading a first-round pick for anything, whether it's to trade up in the draft, whether it's to trade for a player. I'm not trading that pick next year. It might cost you your second this year. I'm not doing that either. But I have to give Bolt Barnwell a lot of credit. Whenever he kind of does these breakdowns, whether it's with players or in the draft, he's usually pretty dialed in.
Yeah.
And so that's why I would have to ask Bill Barnwell, okay, you think the Titans should trade up? With what picks?
Yeah.
The Titans don't have enough picks. And I'm with you. With all of the Chargers' offensive lineman chatter, it feels way too intentional for me to buy that that's actually what their plan is. No coaches and no general managers are so upfront and obvious about what their draft plan is unless that team has the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Like, we all know Chicago's taking Caleb Williams.
Exactly.
And that's fine. And we all can know that.
Because it's not going to determine anybody else's pick.
Yeah, nothing's going to change. We all know that they're going to take Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams will be a Chicago Bear, and that's done. Like, we all know that. Jim Harbaugh's smarter than saying that, oh, we're going to take an offensive lineman. I'm excited to build the offensive line. You need a strong and solid offensive line. I'm not going to let Jim Harbaugh's public comments about building the offensive line scare me into trading picks away just so I can take a Joe Alt at left tackle. Even though I think Joe Alt, everything that I've heard, everything that I've read about Joe Alt, and you probably the same way, Demace, he seems...
It's a no-brainer.
It seems like he is just as good of a left tackle prospect of any of them. It seems that he is far and beyond the best left tackle or offensive lineman, for that matter, prospect in this year's draft. That Joe Alt feels like he would be a game-changing, franchise-altering kind of player if you can add him into the offensive line. I'm not trading up to get that, though.
No.
I'm sitting at seven at the very most. I'll let another player fall to me. I'll trade back, and I'll take an Olafashnu or a J.C. Latham or another tackle in this year's draft. I'm not desperate enough for that one specific player, or frankly, that one specific position to gamble away the rest of my picks in this year, or other picks in this year's draft, or future picks in next year's draft in order to do it. I can't stomach that. You don't have enough picks, and you have far too many needs.
Yeah, you don't have the luxury of giving up draft picks to get that one player. Again, the Titans are not one player away. They are several players away from putting themselves back in the position that they were in a few years ago. Now, will they be able to do that? Via the draft, they did some of it via free agency. But will they be able to complete what they need to complete via the draft? Probably not. So, if that's the case, I'm not giving up picks when I know I already have to build my team. As much as we have talked up the quarterback, we don't know if he's the guy. So you got to make sure you keep all of your picks in hand, because to me, if you move up in a draft, that tells me that you had your eye on one person and one person only.
I think that's a bad draft.
Exactly. So to me, it's like, I am going to stay put. Listen, if the LA Chargers want to draft Alt, damn it, but I'm not moving up to get him. I got to have contingency plans. I got to have plan A, plan B. Who's that next tackle? And then who's the tackle after him? Is there that much of a gap between Alt and the next tackle? Then is it that much of a gap between tackle number two and tackle number three? If it's not, then I am not mortgaging or giving up, parts of my farm just to get one player. I'm not doing it.
I can't do it. I simply couldn't stomach it.
If it's not a quarterback, I'm not doing it. If it's not a quarterback. Now, if they were in quarterback dire need and they wanted to move up to get one of these quarterbacks, fine, do what you need to do, because that will, if you hit right, it will outlast any pick that you gave up. But that's only with a quarterback. I'm not doing it with any other player.
But the fact that Bill Barnwell even brings this up, the idea of, one, the Titans' desperation for a left tackle, which we know is true. Like, the Titans are desperate for a left tackle. And also zeroing in on one guy in a tackle draft that we've all been told is a fairly deep one. That you could find a Patrick Paul in the second round with the 30th overall pick, and he could be a pretty solid tackle for you. That leads me to believe, is there really that much separation between Joe Alt and the rest of these tackles?
I don't know.
And I don't know the answer to that.
I would love
either.
To find that out. In regards to, we know Joe Alt is the best left tackle in this year's draft, but what is the separation between he and the second guy? Whoever that second guy you deem to be, what is the separation? if the separation is not too much, then okay. You know, I don't mind if I miss it. Do I want Joel? Absolutely. But if I miss out on him because I'm not moving up to get him, then I feel comfortable with drafting that second guy, that third guy, knowing that I have one of the best offensive line coaches in the National Football League, if not the best. So I would lean on him in regards to where these guys ranked. How far apart are they? Now, O is ready-made for the NFL. Mm-hmm. He's probably the only person in this draft that is they believe that is ready-made to just plug him in. He plays for the next 12 years, 12, 15 years, barring injury.
That's what everyone's been telling us.
Exactly. So, you know, if I have an opportunity to get it at my pick, mm-hmm. I'm getting it. But I'm not moving up to get it.
It's too much. It would be too much, and you don't have enough to offer just exactly. to zero in on one singular player.
You got too many other issues on this team
you
to be zeroing
needs.
In on one player that's not a quarterback.
It feels like to me, now whatever the conversations are going on behind closed doors, whatever the draft room strategy is, we don't know mm-hmm. and we're not going to know until draft night, and even whatever happens on draft night, we don't know if that was plan A. We don't know if they had to defer to plan B or plan C or plan D or element OP. It feels like to me, though, just based off of everything that we've heard and discussions that we've had, it feels like plan A is Joe Alt at 7.
Yeah.
That if Joe Alt is there at 7, you take Joe Alt at 7. But what if he's not there? In this scenario that Bill Barnwell is talking about, if this isn't a smokescreen, if the Chargers do in fact take Joe Alt at 5, it does kind of feel like plan B is, all right, well, Minnesota, what are you going to give us for 7? All right, well, Denver, what are you going to give us for 7? Feels like trading back could potentially even be as high of an option as plan B, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, if Alt is not there or that, let's just say that guy you have tagged that would be your first round pick, 7th overall, if he's not there, then how far down can you go and still feel that need on this team with a very good player? Mm-hmm. Is it to Minnesota? Is it to Denver? Can I go a little bit further than Denver and still be able to pick up the guy that I want? That we won't know that question until draft day, but I'm sure that's something that Rand Carthon and the crew have talked about. They had to have talked about it because, again, Alt may be gone. Mm-hmm. Someone may trade with the L.A. Rams to move up. L.A. Rams may stay at that pick and draft Alt. So if that does happen, what do we do now?
It does feel like I'm just trying to fast forward to draft day and picture myself.
Well, we got like 3 weeks, somewhere around there.
3 weeks. Yeah. We're almost there. I'm picturing myself on draft night. And if it's, you know, Roger Goodell gets up to the podium and it's the twinkly do-do-do-do music. Mm-hmm. And he says with the 5th overall pick, the LA Chargers select Joe Alt. I can just feel myself going, oh, like a dagger to the heart, like, no, that was supposed to be our guy. All right, I want to get Tim Hasselbeck's thoughts on this. The philosophy of moving up, moving down, staying put in the draft, and especially with the tackle draft, that the depth of this tackle draft. We'll catch up with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, coming up next. We'll also get into your thoughts on this as well. What do you think the Titans should do? Bill Barnwell on ESPN.com says he thinks the Titans should trade up to draft a tackle. With what picks is my question. I don't think that the Titans should be desperate enough to deal the very few picks that they have in this year's draft to get that one guy. But we'll get your thoughts on that coming up next as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889. Terms and 1-800-889-9789. Excuse me. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Today, our Game Nashville studio is Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena because the Predators take on the Winnipeg Jets tonight. Puck drop at 7 p.m. Preds win tonight, and they clinch the playoffs. Preds take it to OT tonight. they clinch the playoff. So I'm going into this game saying, hey, can you just take care of business?
Yeah, just
get it over with.
Can you ease our anxiety and just get it over with today?
And I don't even have anxiety about it. I want Willie's anxiety
exactly.
to be eased. I want Predators fans' anxiety to be eased. We've been saying, D-Mace, we've been cool as cucumbers.
Exactly.
This team's
going
to make the playoffs.
Here.
We're good.
It's Willie.
Willie's been losing hair.
Exactly.
The hair that he has left. So we'll catch up with Tim Hasselbeck here in just a couple of moments. Oh, and he joins us now, ESPN NFL analyst and Ensworth head coach, Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. We were just talking about an article put out by one of your colleagues at ESPN, Bill Barnwell, and he broke down every pick in every team, what they should do at that pick. Stay put, trade back, trade up, and Chicago Bears at one, stay put. I think we can all agree with that. With the Tennessee Titans, Bill Barnwell's thought was the Titans should trade up and take their tackle, perhaps trade up with the Arizona Cardinals to leapfrog the Chargers to take Joe Alt to ensure that they get their left tackle of choice. Just your evaluation of this draft and what the Titans had, the limited draft resources that the Titans have available. Do you think that's the best path?
Well, listen, I think getting the tackle that you want makes a lot of sense for what the current need is. It definitely feels to me like the momentum of, you know, where the Titans think they are at the moment at quarterback. Like, it really feels as though, look, we drafted this quarterback, you know, Will Levis, a year ago when he played. He ended up showing us enough that we feel like it makes the most sense to try to set him up for growth and development and success. And so when you look at that and you think about, what we think will happen at receiver, what we think, what we've seen them do at running back. I think that offensive line makes the most sense. So look, I think when Bill Barnwell, does, columns like he does, he usually has a unique angle on things that, sometimes can be a little bit different than maybe what everybody else is kind of singing in unison. This one just feels like it makes the most sense, right? And look, I think you could make the argument the same thing, whether it's, if we talk about the quarterbacks, Washington, go quarterback. In New England, I think it's a really hard argument to say, New England should trade out of that spot if they can get one of the top three quarterbacks. So, I think this is one of those scenarios where it kind of makes sense.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. We have heard so much coming out from the Chargers camp, from Jim Harbaugh, about the offensive line. Jim Harbaugh was so excited to build the offensive line, emphasized the importance of a strong offensive line. And look, he's not lying. I think that we would all agree that those things are important. But are you buying all of the offensive linemen to the Chargers buzz?
Well, I think Harbaugh, whether it's a smokescreen or not, I think what he is saying is like, is true. Like, if you just look at his track record of where he's been, the things that have mattered to him, the guys that he's had coach with him, people can say what they want about, his time, with Andrew Luck, but like, they were running the heck out of the ball with Toby Gerhart back then. And then, when you think about his time at the Niners, like, it was he and Greg Roman developing a bunch of different stuff. Like Frank Gore was the back, and then they had Colin Kaepernick in design run stuff that was giving people fits. And then he gets to Michigan, and it's, like throwback, offenses in terms of what they're doing. So I think he's wired in a way, former quarterback, sure, but he's wired in a way that is really, I think that there's a true belief from his perspective of, if you are really good up front, then you have a chance. And if you're not really good up front, then you don't. And so, could I see them and continuing to invest heavily in the offensive line year after year after year under his leadership? Absolutely, I could.
You're right about that. But it sort of, I guess it would make Titans fans kind of, scared that that Harbaugh would take a tackle at the 4 or 5 pick. I think they are, five? They pick number five?
Yeah.
Take a tackle at the 5th pick. But to me, I look at it as he's explaining, like you said, Tim, what all coaches want. You got to build up your offensive line first in order to have a, you know, or in order to, for me, you know, in order to have a complete team. You got to start with the offensive line, at least in my mind. Where do you think this thing take a turn in the draft? Is it going to be the top four or five picks will possibly trade from the L.A. Chargers or Arizona? Because every year we go into the draft, there's a turning point within the draft that sort of we thought it was going to go this way, but, oh, my goodness, now it's going that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there probably are a couple moments where, you know, we look at it and say, okay, it like this could be a move at this point. So, look, I told you what I feel like New England should do. Mm-hmm. But if you look at New England, and I mean this, if you look at New England's offense right now, like how many guys on their starting offense do you look at and you say, yep, they would be a starter at any of the other AFC East teams? Like, I literally think it's one or two guys, maybe the center and maybe the tight end. I think outside of that, like, I don't know if they have another player on their starting offense that I think you can say, like, yep, he would be a starter at any of these other AFC East teams. Like, that's just in your division, never mind your conference. Like, so, you know, I bring all that up to say, look, I think if Drake May was there, like, I would take him. But they may also just look at their situation and say, we have so many holes for an organization that was so stable for so long. Like, they are about as bad as you can look on offense right now. I mean, look at their, they have all kinds of issues and all kinds of holes. So that would be the first spot where I feel like it could change. Now, if they just say, look, we understand we've got a long way to go, but we're getting the quarterback because we're picking all the way up here, fine. So maybe it doesn't change at that point. Then I think that somewhere between, you know, this, like, Arizona Cardinals situation where if people feel like, you know, like the quarterback thing is going to continue to move, you know, I think we've talked before about, like, does Minnesota try to do something to get way up there? Or, you know, if Drake May wasn't a part of that. So, like, I think in that 3-4 range is where something could really happen. And if it doesn't happen there, D-Mace, then I think that it probably, you know, starts to happen, you know, maybe around the Giants. Because if they're not going quarterback, you know, maybe somebody else is coming up to go quarterback.
Now, the neighbors, Malik Nabers, obviously, you know, teams are trying to figure out, you know, whether is it Marvin Harrison or is it Malik Nabers, which one of these guys? But now all of a sudden, you know, things are starting to come out about Nabers, and it's just ironic to me that, you know, you've had all this time to evaluate this player, and we know how the NFL is. They're going to dig up under every rock just about to try to find out if there's something in your background, because when you're drafting that high, they want to make sure they have, you know, all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted. What do you make of this Malik Nabers news? To me, I don't want to believe someone that just put it out there deliberately to either, you know, sway the way the draft is going or you know, push this young man further down in the first round. But it's just ironic again. It's ironic that all of a sudden now this stuff is coming out about him, whereas before that we didn't hear much of anything bad about Malik Nabers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I definitely think that guys get, you know, trashed to devalue them, to cause some type of hesitation from another team if they have prospects ranked closely. And so maybe you leak information that's accurate, but it's still harmful to the prospect. I would think that most teams are, you know, trusting their own research on all this stuff. They've poured, you know, millions of dollars into their scouting departments to gather the information. So I would hope that we're kind of past the point where, you know, teams are just believing, you know, anonymous reporting. All that to say, D. Mace, like, I thought that his comments about going to New York would definitely raise my eyebrows a little bit to be like, hey, man, like, you can't say hey, yeah, like New York would be great if you get the quarterback situation figured out because they're going to need to feed you the ball. Like, one of your first five text messages is going to be from Daniel Jones. Like that's awkward. So, yeah, look, I think sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire. I think most teams probably know it already even before it comes into a report.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach at the Indianapolis Tigers. Now, we've talked so much, Tim, about the top three quarterbacks and even the top four when you add J.J. McCarthy in there. What about the other quarterbacks? What about the Michael Penix or the Bo Nix, quarterbacks that we saw put up big numbers, play big all this year, but it seems like they are being forgotten amongst the other three or four at the top of the pile?
Yeah, and I think that I'll just take them individually. I think the big thing for Michael Penix is his injury history. I mean, it's really – I think it's that simple. If he were to be have a clean injury history, then I think that would look totally different for him. You know, between his frame and ability to hold up, that's a concern because he's a really remarkable passer. So in his production – was good at various stops. And so, you know, he was good at Indiana and then he was good at UW. And so I think that's the thing that is hurting Penix. And look, that's part of how this works. That one makes sense. You know, on Bo Nix, I think his is a little bit interesting because, you know, if you were to group him into like the J.J. McCarthy mix, here's what I would say. You know, Bo Nix played early at a school that plays in a tough conference and had a lot of pressure on him. And for the most part, I think responded well to the pressure and really kind of got run out of town unfairly, I believe. Then, you know, makes the move to Oregon and plays great and produces at a high level. And he's a better athlete than people realize. I think as a passer, he's had moments where he just hadn't been super accurate. And he's, you know, there are games where you kind of question some decision-making. But I think you can say all those same things for J.J. McCarthy. I think both those guys are both battle-tested. They had to earn the jobs that they had in college. And so I think there's a lot to like about that for Bo Nix. So, I would probably have him after McCarthy. But I think that he's another really good prospect, just like I think Michael Penix is a good prospect. But because of, you know, varying things, yeah, they're just kind of out of that top mix.
Now, Tim, do you think how far do you think one of these quarterbacks would drop? Because I'm looking at it from this standpoint, and I know the Titans don't need a backup quarterback as we sit now. But drafting one of these guys, if indeed they do fall fifth round, somewhere around there, because you're not – listen, you have a backup in Mason Rudolph, but, I mean, is he going to be here after this season? Possibly not. And then you have Malik Willis, who we don't know anything about really, because we don't know if he's gotten better or not. If a quarterback is sitting there that you thought was ranked higher – should the Titans draft a quarterback if it's one of these guys that produce high in college, but for whatever reason, whether it be injury or something else, fail in the draft?
My answer is this: Kirk Cousins. Yes, like absolutely. Like if you have somebody, if you have a grade on somebody, and it's not a position in need, and then you look up at the board and you're like, man, we're in the fourth round, we're in the fifth round. And that guy is available, and we think he's a really good player, especially at, you know, the quarterback position. Yes, you're absolutely drafting. Look, it's not a foregone conclusion. And look, in fairness, like that's probably what they did with Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Probably what they did with Will Levis. So, I I'll just say this. Like when Mason Rudolph was coming out, I thought he easily could have been a first-round draft pick from his college tape, his size. I thought he was the best deep ball thrower in that draft when he was coming out. Like, I think there were a lot of things to like about Mason Rudolph. So, and he's played some good football in the NFL. So I do think it's fine for all these teams to be in the mix. Now, I would say, I don't know how, if things kind of go the way that people think they're going to go, like, I don't know how at 11 Minnesota doesn't draft a quarterback. I really don't. And then the Broncos are in a very similar situation right after them. So I do think there'll be a run of quarterbacks. I do think some of these guys will slip into round two, and then when that happens, it'll push that next wave of guys even further down. But I do think quarterbacks are going to go early, and it maybe just doesn't end up being the year where somebody, falls to the fifth round or something like that.
We're talking with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, sticking along the theme of quarterbacks, how have you evaluated Joe Milton as an NFL prospect?
Yeah, this one's super hard, I think, because
he's a fascinating one.
I mean, it's so fascinating. Like, he, if he just had normal physical talent, then I think he might not have a draftable grade. But that's not the case. He has remarkable physical, like, he may be the closest thing to Anthony Richardson, which is weird year after year, but he might be the closest thing to Anthony Richardson physically. So I think that ends up being the challenge with him, is that he is so supremely gifted, but the production and the consistency and honestly just the number of quality opportunities that you've seen from him just weren't there. And so with that, it's such a projection, and I feel some ways that this happens sometimes that Logan Thomas, I think that's his name. Logan Thomas played quarterback at Virginia Tech. And he got drafted as a quarterback by Bruce Arians. But Bruce Arians, I think, saw him as potentially a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And not potentially, I mean, as a quarterback, that's how they drafted him. And then it just, it was clear. It was like, you know what? Like, no, this is why it just went the way that it went for you as a quarterback at Virginia Tech. And he's had a nice career as a tight end. I'm not saying that Joe Milton should be playing another position, but I think that Joe Milton will get drafted because he's a remarkable thrower of the football. He, has played quarterback. He has had some success, but it is such a projection. But I think someone's willing to take the risk on him. And then what his NFL future looks like, I think, is way up in the air to be determined.
It'll be interesting to see his career kind of pan out. Last one for you, Tim, quickly before you get you out of here. The Titans' first day of the offseason started yesterday. We're less than a month removed from voluntary minicamp. What should Will Levis be doing right now in this stage of the offseason?
Yeah, I think totally asserting himself. Here's this window of time where you for sure know, you're the guy. They are setting everything up for you to be the guy. Could there be some crazy surprise that, they draft a quarterback? Maybe. But, I doubt that happens. And so, behave as if you know it's not going to happen. Take such a leadership position in asserting yourself of being the guy, being the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans and having everything be built around you. Go ahead and, put that stake in the ground. And so how you talk, how you carry yourself, how you interact with your other teammates, how you are in the building, how you are with the new coaching staff, leave no doubt that you believe that you are the guy going forward. I think by doing that and creating a belief from everybody else in you, that goes a long way, and that would be my recommendation to him at this point.
Tim, you are the very best. Appreciate your time today, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Appreciate it, Tim. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Always appreciate his insight. We'll react to what he had to say coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators in the 10K Power Play Giveaway. Enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. That's right, a Kohler home generator or $10,000 toward Lee Company Home Services. So go online to leecompany.com/giveaway to enter. That's leecompany.com/giveaway and the 10K Power Play giveaway. Contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April 20th. Lee Company, all you need. Appreciate Tim Hasselbeck for stopping by in the last segment. D-Mace, I asked him about the trade-up scenario in order to get Joe Alt to leapfrog the Chargers. And Tim said, yeah, he'd do it. You change your mind at all?
No, I still hadn't changed my mind. obviously Tim has his reasons for saying that, and he explained them. But to me, it's still because where we are at as a team, I can't afford to give up picks and still try to build a winning team. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say, well, I can wait. I can't wait until next year. No. We need to build the team. You are in a perfect spot. That I think that sixth and that seventh spots are really good spots, because especially in a draft like this, because even if you possibly miss out on your first guy, you're still able to possibly get your second guy and still, plug that guy. He's ready. He's a plug and play type of guy. You still can do that. Now, once you get outside of that 10. It's a little bit harder to get that guy. But when you're in that sweet spot, 6-7, 5-6-7, why trade up? Why trade down? Unless, you still believe you can get your guy you want at, say, pick 12 mm-hmm. or 13. Any further than that, I think you are running a risk of not getting who you deem to be maybe the top two or three guys at a position of need, which is tackle, or the top two or three guys at defensive end, on the defensive side of the ball, on a defensive line. So to me, you can only go so far back. But I wouldn't go up, because going up means I got to give up picks, and more than likely it's either going to be a first or a second round pick, but it's going to be multiple picks.
Yeah, I'm not giving up a first. If that's the asking price, I hang up the phone. Uh-huh. Monty Austin Fort, listen to my dial tone, because I'm not giving up a first. If the Titans go into this draft with the mindset of Joe Alt no matter what, I think that's really dangerous.
Yeah.
And I understand it. And everything that we've heard makes him sound like the perfect prospect on the field and off the field. You can plug him in right now and get coached up by the best offensive line coach mm-hmm. in the NFL. Like, it really does sound too good to be true. And it really does sound like it solves so many of your problems, and so many of your questions about this team are now answered because you've solidified that left tackle position. But still, I can't. And I understand the perspective of do whatever it takes to get the tackle that you want, but I still just can't fathom, and I just still can't swallow the idea of giving up, let's say, your second in this year's draft, which could potentially be your replacement for D'Amico Autry, or in addition to this wide receiver room, or something else in addition at a position of need, or to bolster up positions that you've already supplemented in free agency. I can't get on board with that.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but I consider Alt one of those force multipliers, because to me, you get him, his position will be locked down, but he will make your guard better, mm-hmm. and he will make your center better. So to me, if you can get a guy like that, get him, but I wouldn't trade the world to get him. You hope that he falls down to you. I believe he will fall to them. But if he's not there, then you move on to your next guy. Mm-hmm. And whoever you get, to fill that role. I think at this point of the draft, meaning the top, 13, 14, you're still able to get a tackle that can be a force multiplier as well, that can help out your guard as well as your center.
All right, coming up next, Cal is headed to Arkansas, which is still something that I just cannot wrap my mind around. Is Kentucky's shortlist getting even shorter day by day of their Cal replacement? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, live out of here at Bridgestone Arena, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.